It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean.
Yeah. That Uncrustable hit the spot.
You didn't have an Uncrustable.
Oh, that's right. It's a Lunchable. Whatever.
Unlunchable. A lunch for children.
I got one more vanilla wafer. You want it?
I'm not. I want to make sure I put this on the record. I'm not judging that you're eating a Lunchable at all.
It's actually pretty good.
I'm judging that you're eating a Lunchable at what was 6:45 a.m. That's the more concerning
Mike's just
part.
Judging everybody.
It's in the fridge downstairs. You can buy them.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, though. I'd rather have a breakfast sandwich than from the McDonald's. You know, one of those McGriddles. Yeah. Bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. So good.
I love
something
those,
about mixing the syrup and...
No, that's the best part about it, Tiff.
Nope.
What are you talking about?
I love it because it's
keep
infused.
Keep it separate on my plate.
And it's infused. What? How do you keep separate syrup and pancakes?
I don't let the syrup drip. Like, if I have sausage and pancakes on a plate, the syrup does not touch the sausage.
That's the beauty of the McGriddle is it's only in the pancake part.
Exactly. It mixes so well.
I know.
Tiff, I know what
it's
your
like
answer
science.
I know what your answer to this question is going to be, so this question doesn't apply to you. Mike and Bo, have you ever just, like, put maple syrup directly on your eggs? Like, not from it running over, but, like, put it directly, just squirt it directly on your eggs.
Have we met? 1,000%. You kidding me right
That's
now?
What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, Mike.
Yeah, come on, man. Bo? Like, let's go.
No. I don't put it directly on my
it's
eggs.
It's disgusting.
I don't
it's
mind if delicious. It touches, but it doesn't. I don't.
What are we talking about? Disgusting.
I don't need my eggs to have
who's judging who
syrup on it, but I don't
mind
if it
does. I said it's disgusting. I didn't call you disgusting.
It felt like it.
Or say
I
that
felt
you
targeted.
Weren't a pleasant person.
Yeah. You said I wasn't a pleasant person?
No, I think
I said
that
or
was,
said that you weren't a pleasant
person.
That was a little bit
a minute
back.
Ago. I got you. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm on track.
You know what I've noticed? Hold on.
I'm dispersing my feelings.
We're just going to air out the truth in here for a second. You know what I've noticed is that if I come at Tiffany, it just seems like she just doesn't really care. She's like, whatever. But if Mike says something, she very much cares. I don't know. And here's the deal. I don't know if I should.
But it's the same thing. It's
hold
the
on,
same way.
Hold on. I don't know if I should take. I don't know if I should be
coffee.
The one that's offended by it.
Yeah.
Because
that's
either
a good question.
Either y'all just say, well, that's Bo. He's an idiot. Or you don't care about anything that I say. And so either way, I don't think they're good. I think I'm the one that should be offended in all of this.
Yeah,
so
somewhere in there, there's a Which One Wednesday.
I'm
I don't know
to,
where it is. I got to figure it out. But somewhere in there, there's a Which
I
One Wednesday.
I think I'll make myself a victim in all this.
I love it, man. That's hilarious.
All right. Who takes the win this week? The rest of this week? Are you going Braves tonight?
Oh, don't ask
and
me to do that.
A game two of a 3-game set in the wild card series against the Padres. After losing last night 4-0, so they got shut out. Or are you taking the Falcons on a Thursday night football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Don't make me pick between which kid's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're doing.
Which kid are you sharing your Uncrustable with?
You know, it's a simple choice for me, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you the truth. I share Uncrustables with the Falcons. Because they're the ones that give them to me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hey, give me my Uncrustables on the plane.
Easy enough. Things aren't cheap either, speaking of which. I would go with the Falcons.
That'd be hard to find too.
The Braves, we have a big enough sample size to where I think we know what the Braves are at this point, right? They have to have excellent pitching off the top, and they have to somehow every few days find timely hitting. And the fact that they need to do that in back to back days in a do or die scenario, I just I'm rooting for him. Don't get me wrong. I just think that, you know, it's just one of those things where you look at the percentages, you look at the team you're playing. When we talked to CJ Nikowski yesterday, he mentioned the fact that he thinks the Padres are the World Series favorites, and they showed it last night.
He's not alone
either. Yeah. And they showed it last night. So while I think the Buccaneers are good, this is in Atlanta. It's a primetime game. You know, hopefully the city, and I know they will because they have all season so far, will show up and root on the Falcons. And you get situations like last week where you're playing a good team and you do all the little things right and you come out with a victory. So I just think that I think the Falcons are always going to have that puncher's chance because you have excellent players and you have, to me, you know, smart players and smart coaching staff that you can get it done in some of those crunch time situations.
Go ahead.
No, I was just, you know, I was going to say the point with the Braves is it's just, like you said, we've been there, we kind of know. But with the Falcons, we have a chance to right this ship and make this special. The Braves have been to 7 straight postseasons. The Mets have only made 11 in their entire franchise's history. The Mets have made 11 postseasons. The Braves have 7
That's
straight.
One of the more unbelievable numbers I've ever heard.
And I told you that to be like, we haven't made the playoffs in 6 years for Falcons. This season is still young. We still have a knock on wood, a pretty healthy team for the most part.
Oh gosh!
And
careful, bro.
And Dylan's knocking on a real wood door I'm going to take the Falcons win because I think it's pivotal. I think this sets up the division. You win this game, you go to Carolina next week with a chance to go. To go to 4-2 and be 3-0 in the division.
Yeah, and that's significant. What else is significant? You have 2 quarterbacks in this that have been really good in crunch time. When it comes down to the final minutes of the game, we've seen Baker Mayfield pull it off. But also, Kirk Cousins, 30 game-winning drives in his NFL career, including in Week 4 against the Saints. So that's the 5th most among active QBs. I'm not saying that you want it to come down to the wire, but I would say you should feel pretty good about your chances if it does in a matchup where it's an NFC South, it's a division rival, and anything can happen.
And he's had some decent games against the Bucs, including last September when he went and he played Tampa Bay. And I want to say that was in Tampa, but I could be wrong. Went 33 of 44 for 344 with a couple of touchdowns. He did get sacked twice. One thing I want to say about Kirk Cousins is I keep hearing this narrative, and it's, you know, people are asking me. I've heard it in throughout the media, you know, Kirk Cousins healthy. I think you're getting pretty much what Kirk Cousins is. He's a guy that's, you know, you go through his stats. He's a guy that's been hit a lot in his career. He's been sacked a lot. It's about his mobility. Do I think they could do more moving him in the pocket? Yeah, Mike, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum at times, that move this pocket a little bit more. However, I go back and watch against a pretty good pass rushing team in New Orleans last week. I thought even down Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry, they did a pretty good job of protecting him in the passing game. Now, there was some poorly run routes. There was some guys that maybe got grabbed a little bit more. And there was just some bad throws by Kirk. I mean, everybody was to blame, but why there wasn't more. But I thought they did and there was some holding penalties at times or some, you know, hands in the face that were pretty questionable at times as well. That said, I thought he did a good job protecting him. This pass defense comes in here. They've only got – well, they've had 8 sacks on the season, which is double us, but they got 6 last week alone against Philadelphia, which is a surprising stat to me in its own right.
Yeah, and I can't say enough about how well I think Ryan Neuzel and Storm Norton did play last week, honestly. And given the circumstances, and we just talked about Baker Mayfield, right, and how well he moves and how quick he gets rid of the ball, and it's kind of the opposite for us in Atlanta right now. He's not moving very well, and the ball is staying. I feel like the ball, as far as our game plan last week, was in the pocket in Kirk's hands probably twice as long as Baker Mayfield had the ball in the pocket. And so shout out to those guys. And look, it's not for not trying. New Orleans smelled blood in the water. They tried to run stunts. They tried to run stuff up the middle. And yet we did a great job kind of counteracting that, and also continue to shout out, and you've mentioned this a number of times, Bijan Robinson picking up some of the blitzes. He's been incredible this year in blitz pickup. So I just think it's one of those things that it's, as always in the NFL, it comes down to game planning, right? And we have got to find a way to be more successful on third downs and short yardage and in the red zone. We've done a decent job between the 20s, honestly, of moving the ball, and that's the reasons our numbers aren't so lopsided. But Third down continues to be a problem, and when you look at Ryan Neuzel going up against Vita Vea, although he probably won't be in on third and long, that does look like a mismatch on paper. So I'll be really interested to see what Zach Robinson has in plan for that.
Well, let's flip and talk about the Falcons defense and the run defense specifically. So the Bucs are averaging around 96 rushing yards per game this season. They have not yet averaged 100 rushing yards per game in a season since 2016. And now you have a Falcons defense in which Coach Raheem Morris is looking for their run defense to improve. Here he is with Coach Dave Archer on the Coach's Show.
You would like to be able to stop that thing with a too high safety and leave it to the front. And when you do that, you got to have somebody plan a gap and a half. So we just got to be more sound in our gap and a half fits. Some of the stuff that we like to take shots on, you see guys taking shots, whether it be our linebackers, whether it be a D-line. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and that allows some creases. So you got to be more calculated on the decisions you make when you take those shots. We got to be a little bit more careful. We got to be a little bit more playing it the right way, doing things the right way, using our hands, being able to get on and off blocks a little bit better. You know, it's not one in particular person, but it's just a thing that we got to be able to settle those things down for everybody at all costs. And I really love where our group is going because I love the understanding. I love the immediate understanding on the sideline to be able to communicate those guys. Guys like David, David going out there and being able to tell you exactly what happened, how it went through the B gap, and he's got to make a better tackle. Or whether it's Caden Ellis being able to come off and say, hey, I shot my gun on that one. I got to be able to use my hands and fall back. I mean, these guys speak very clearly on what they want to do and what they have to do, and they were able to go out there and accomplish that in the second half.
I think it's so interesting to hear that you talk about gap and a half fits for defensive linemen, right? And too many times this year have we seen up front of the defensive line, we've got shoulder turners, right? And what that means is, as a defensive lineman, you want to stay square. You want to make your body big. You want to take up one blocker, two blockers, right? And when you get your shoulders turned, not only do you do that because you think you have better leverage, but it also makes the gap that much wider for the running back to be able to fit through. And I think we kind of mentioned it earlier, Tiff, and we wanted to go into it. When you look at the possibility that J.D. Bertrand is a part of this game plan, right, and then play after play after play, if they're running duo downhill at you and they're entering the line of scrimmage and they're just, you know, continuing, J.D. Bertrand is just continuing to get hit, and all of a sudden he starts triggering a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier and saying, I got to stop him, and then Baker Mayfield hits one of those crossing routes over the top behind him on a play-action pass or something up the seam. I think that's got to be part of the game plan for Tampa Bay, right? Well, I think you're hoping your offensive line can unseat these defensive linemen from Atlanta.
And to that point, I might run blitz them early on early downs. Run blitz them, kind of get them out where they're a little bit timid of doing that. They don't know when you're coming. I think you just did to me. The linebackers have to stay out of the wash. They cannot get caught up when if that duo starts working and they get them pushed back into that second level. They have got to stay out of all that traffic, because that's where we are getting absolutely gashed in the run game.
Let's get some NFL headlines. What does the future hold for Davante Adams in Las Vegas? I can give you some insight. I just saw him during their game when I had the Browns and them over the weekend. But now the rumor mill is churning. Perhaps Bo has some thoughts on where he wants to see him end up. We'll discuss next, along with some other headlines, on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of news coming out of Las Vegas, and according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, I cannot talk today, the Raiders are increasingly open to dealing Davante Adams and have begun calling teams to gauge interest in his services. Now, this also comes from NFL media that Adams came to the Las Vegas front office on Tuesday and said he preferred to be traded. Now, no deal is imminent, but it remains a situation to watch. Now, Adams was asked if he thinks he'll play another down as a Raider. Here's his response.
All I can control is this talk we're having right here. And then after we're done with this, all I can control is the next thing that I'm on to. So I'm going to get up in a minute and get a nice workout in, and that's all I can control.
That was Devontae Adams on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. So you heard her reaction to
what that was.
Golly, dude,
I thought that was like a press conference.
The alarm bell started going off.
I was like, what was that? I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Dylan. I was like, what? Where? Who? What? Go?
He told me during it that it was Up and Adams, so I felt the need to.
No, I'm glad like somebody you clarified.
Somebody left their Bluetooth on.
I needed you to clarify.
Anyway, focus, gentlemen. Focus.
I don't want to sit here and act like Devontae Adams is completely to blame for this entire situation. And I also don't want to sit here and act like he's not at fault. Because Devontae Adams showed in the receiver show that he has moments where he shows his emotions and lets it get the best of him.
Yeah.
I also think, though, that he feels probably misled by going to Las Vegas, and then they immediately get rid of Carr after what, like half a season? Yeah. They bench him, and then he's there. But also, you forced your way out of one of the best franchises in the NFL and then signed with one of the worst franchises the last 20 years in the NFL. So the reality is, I'd love to have Devontae Adams on my team. I think he's one of the top five receivers in the league. But you're part of this problem, that the reason you're there.
So I want to play this other sound from Devontae Adams and then give you a little bit of insight into what I saw on the sidelines on Sunday. So here he is talking about maybe those moments you were referring to that he might have, Bo.
Honestly, it's hard to comment on. I'm sure you would imagine as such, but it's one of those situations where I just keep my head down and keep doing my thing and let the chips fall where they may as it pertains to that. But I haven't. There's been no communication with anybody from the team since that became a thing. But, you know, it's kind of just like the weekly what's up with Tay thing. You know, it's always some sort of drama. But at the end of the day, 1-7 doesn't create any of it. So people can say what they want, but I'm just chilling, trying to be the model for, you know, not stirring the pot and just locking in and doing what I got to do.
So from what I saw, and again, that was Devontae Adams on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. From what I saw on the sidelines and him not playing on Sunday, and I told you guys this yesterday, he was coaching up some of the young receivers. He even had a headset. He had the sticker on it that said, "This is for Adams," hanging on his hip, looked like a coach out there. Every time that the offense was on the field, he was up on the sideline engaged in what was happening. And every time they were back on the sidelines, he was sitting in between the quarterbacks and some of the young receivers there, coaching them up and talking to them. So it'll be interesting to see how this ends up all playing out for him.
I think that's a great point to make, Tiff, because I think you can look around the league and DJ Moore. Has anybody? I don't know if you guys have seen the videos of DJ Moore on the sideline and some of the faces he's making. And that is a team that won this past weekend, right? That's a team with Caleb Williams, who continues to make strides each week. But man, he is frustrated like no other, sitting by himself, kind of pouting on the bench about what his role is in this offense. And that's a team that's winning. That's a team that won. So I think that is important to kind of keep in mind about Devontae's attitude on the sideline and around his teammates. And, we see a small fraction of the interactions that he has with other people inside that locker room and that coaching staff and everything else. But I'm with Bo. I think any team would love to have a Devontae Adams on their squad, and I don't know how many people can financially make it happen, but he should be a hot commodity.
Well, if I could get him here, I would, and what I would do is I'd play him at wide receiver, and then I'd tell him that he's Travis Hunter NFL version. I need him coming off the edge, and I would have him coming in and just DB blitzes and stuff. Yeah, I mean, we got to – hey, man, we're trying to win games. We don't want
it down
you.
To a 52-man roster.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, let's head up to New York, and we're talking about the Jets here. Is there drama amongst that team? And so apparently Boomer Esiason of WFAN 660 in New York – did I say that right? The WFAN?
Sure. Yeah,
WFAN.
Or that, you know. Or
WFAN
that.
Or WFAN, WFAN. I think they're both appropriate.
All right. Woohoo. Good. So Boomer Esiason, he discussed on there that he thinks there's an issue, a major issue between Aaron Rodgers and Coach Robert Saleh.
I try to watch to see if I see any interactions on the sideline or anything. Nothing. Not that I see a guy walking right past another guy. I can't imagine that. Both will deny it. I guarantee it. But there is an issue there. And it's because you have this 40-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback to be dealing with a coach that I think he doesn't respect.
So you just heard what Boomer Esiason thinks. Let's hear from the quarterback himself, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't get into what the conversation is going on outside the building around myself, the relationships that I have. The most important ones are looking a guy in the eye in the locker room or in a meeting room and knowing, you know, he's got your back, you get his back. Rob and I have a great relationship. We have since day one when I got here. You know, we have text message conversations, threads that we're in, conversations about a number of different topics outside of football. We got a good friendship.
I thought he was going to say, I'll look you in the meeting room and tell you I think you're an idiot. You remember everything I said about Devontae Adams and as far as he pushed himself out of one of the best organizations in the NFL and into one of the worst ones in the last, I said, 20 years?
I think I recall that.
50 years. Take all of that and apply it to Aaron Rodgers because he did the exact same thing. He pushed himself out of one of the best organizations with
Whoa,
a good coach.
That's, dude,
he
that's
pushed
harsh.
Himself out of there.
No, that's harsh, dude.
Oh, really? How?
They drafted his replacement. What are you talking
because
about?
Because he started talking about retiring.
I would start talking about it, too, if when we needed wide receivers. He literally had never – this year was the first time he's ever thrown a touchdown pass to a first-round wide receiver.
Let me tell you something.
So
I think
I'd be pretty upset if I was him, too, in a three- or four-time MVP.
If Aaron Rodgers wanted to be in Green Bay, that's exactly where the hell he'd be right now.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean he'd be winning.
I don't know if Jordan Love can win there. I don't know why he can't. That said, I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for some of this with Robert Saleh because I think some of it is Saleh's trying to kind of appease everyone. Dude, you're going to blame a Hall of Fame quarterback about a snap count and how his cadence is up there? I mean, dude, you don't need to know. Aaron's absolutely right. That was ridiculous, Saleh. Well, maybe we need to change it. No, I agree with Aaron Rodgers there. Hold players accountable. What are we doing if we're not holding players accountable?
Yeah, no, I agree. I tend to kind of go on Aaron's side of this, though, and think this is mostly a non-story. I think the Boomer – this is a New York media kind of thing, right? Boomer's like, well, it's not a great relationship. Walk past them on the sideline. Okay. Like, that doesn't mean they have a bad relationship. Maybe it just means that they're not – you know, the talkative type in their relationship. I just don't think that there's a massive problem between these two. I really don't. And I've watched multiple of their games. Aaron Rodgers is just different, dude. He's never been buddy-buddy on the sideline, you know, aside from like David Bakhtiari. And that's pretty much it. And so I think it's a good working relationship. And I think that Robert Saleh probably calmed down and he was like, yeah, you know what? Your cadence is fine. And I think they move on from that. I don't think this is a problem. I think it's a problem because it's the Jets. I think that's the only reason we even talk about it.
Well, this news coming out, the last 48 hours, it's been pretty tough for the Bills with the loss. And then now this news of a suspension of Von Miller. And so the NFL has suspended him for violating the league's personal conduct policy. The suspension is in response to allegations from last fall that Miller assaulted his pregnant girlfriend in November of 2023 during a Buffalo Bills bye week. He did turn himself in then for a charge of third-degree felony assault of a pregnant woman. He was booked before being released on $5,000 bond. Of course, Miller is saying the allegations are 100% false, and he said that the case was closed. That was in July. Again, the NFL, though, has not necessarily said that this is the reason why they are suspending him, but this is the information that's out there.
Well, they must have done some kind of investigation or they would not be suspending him. I don't know what they did, what they found, what kind of evidence they have. But I can tell you that the NFL is not just going to go suspend a player just to suspend him.
You can't.
And it would never hold. Yeah, to your point, never hold him to PA. There has got to be something of some credible substance here, Mike.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate to say the least, right? Because, I mean, Von Miller is one of the people you know the most about, it seems like, as a player in the NFL. I mean, he used to do a digital show and podcast and everything else. He was highly regarded as a person for the longest time, and yet you have this hiccup, and you never like to judge somebody based off one situation. But, man, it's It stinks to hear all that coming out, and you wait to, you know, kind of his reaction. But according to what I've heard, there's like no appeals process for this or anything. Like, he is just straight up suspended for the next four games, final decision. And so, yeah, if I were him, probably just keep my mouth shut too, man. This is there's nothing good that you can say about any of this. And, you know, serve your suspension, and it stinks all the way around. There's no doubt about it.
Just eat your Lunchables, stay in shape, and be ready to go.
There you go, man.
There you go. Suspension.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We got to mix it up for you here. We got Grant McCauley joining the show a day after his birthday. I read the emails here. I hope you guys did too. Anyway, he'll break down what went wrong in that Brave shutout in game one of the wild card against San Diego Padres next year on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift and headed straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find our very own Braves insider and reporter and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, who also happens to be a fellow Libra. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you all very much.
You're welcome. Hope it was a good one yesterday, despite you know, some other things that may have happened last night.
You know what Grant got for his birthday?
What?
An expanded strike zone from the home plate umpire for the Padres last night. What do you think about that, Grant? It wasn't Eric Gregg-esque, but it was getting there at times.
No, I was looking for the return policy on that. And you know what was also infuriating was the production values that were going on. If they want to do an umpire cam, that's fine. I understand we're innovating and we're doing stuff that, you know, maybe nobody asked for, like talking to players for 10 seconds in the dugout in the middle of a game where they tell you nothing. But putting all that aside, that umpire cam, going to it while the pitch is live and you can't even see what happens, I don't understand that at all. So, yeah, a lot of fun was had on the broadcast last night, as you can tell.
Grant, the Braves play, 27 emotional innings in a little over 24 hours. It kind of looked like it yesterday, like it caught up to them. One of the biggest takeaways I had, though, just watching, was the emotion it looked like that was draped across A.J. Smith-Shawver's face, and he's put in an impossible situation and tries to step up for this team. Obviously a rough, rough go of it. What did you make of his start yesterday, and you know, what was your biggest takeaway in terms of the energy of the team?
Yeah, I think that was referred to as emotional damage in the first inning. It's not the way that he wanted it to go. And you know, as much as we can sit here and, you know, hindsight the options of who could have started, there was no good plan B once Chris Sale became unavailable to this club. There just was not going to be a scenario where you looked at it and you thought, you know, we don't have this guy that we really need, but we have this one or this one or this one. It was more of a making the best of a difficult situation. And I understood the A.J. Smith-Shawver call. If he is the guy that comes out there pumping 97, 98 and getting a lot of swing and miss with his secondaries, he was not that guy in the first couple of batters. And look, I'm not going to lay the loss at his feet because of an inning and a third and three runs. I mean, the offense was not able to solve Michael King. That is where the game was lost. If you don't score, you're really not going to have a chance to win. But really, you got to score more than the other guys. And the Braves just didn't take advantage of their opportunities. And that's been a song that we've sung way too many times in 2024 about the Braves. But while the A.J. Smith-Shawver move clearly didn't pay big dividends for the Braves, getting three relievers, not even your three top relievers, we're talking Aaron Bummer, Jesse Chavez, and Luke Jackson, to toss 6 2/3 innings of one-hit, one-run ball, they kept you in the game. And this is another one where, offensively speaking, the Braves have been challenged all year long to try to find ways. They couldn't find the ways yesterday.
Grant, did Chris Sale even make the trip out? I know that was the question. Okay.
No. Well, no, he's going to stay back and get some work done because, you know, he needs to get treatment, clearly, on the back to get that all straightened out as best they can because, you know, left off the wild card roster, I expected that as soon as they said that he wasn't going to pitch on Monday. I think some fans may have hoped that, well, maybe it was an elaborate smokescreen to save Chris Sale for game one and he'll ride in on a big horse swinging a giant sword. Not happening, unfortunately. There were no swords in yesterday's game except for the ones that the Braves unfortunately had to fall on. But you put that aside, you know, if they can advance and Chris Sale feels like he can pitch, that would be a huge boost. There were times, Brian Snitker said, over the past really 5 to 7 days leading up to that Monday potential start that maybe he could have, but they also were cautious that he hadn't really, you know, as they say, stepped on it and really pushed himself to see how long he might be able to last in a start. And I think that was ultimately what led Chris Sale to decide, if I can't be enough, you know, the enough percentage of me to help the team win, I don't want to go out there and cause them to lose. And that was part of the calculus in making this decision, unfortunately.
Well, short of Jon Snow showing up tonight in Petco Park or whatever they call that stadium these days, Grant, what can Cent do to kind of to get this lineup going? Is there anything he can do? Move? I know he's tried everything under the sun this season, but could you kind of move some guys around? Maybe move Soler up, Harris down. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, you know, I think we've talked about, and I don't know that it's as dire as like moving the deck chairs on the Titanic, but it's felt that way at times because when this club starts to sink, it really doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to pull out of some of the issues that it's dealt with and find that big inning and put that crooked number on the board and kind of live on the momentum for a while. And some of this has a lot to do with the approach. The rest of it has to do with not the king in the north, but the king of the Padres, and that was Michael King yesterday, who had great strikeout stuff. And I talked about this one, Dukes and Bell. I've talked about this in some of the other shows I've done. I don't know that enough people talked about the season that Michael King had. There was a reason he got the ball in game one for the Padres, and he showed it last night with 12 punchouts over seven innings. The Braves did not draw a walk. They struck out 15 times. Infuriatingly enough, they out-hit the San Diego Padres 7-5, but three runs went on the board early, and as a matter of fact, the Tatis two-run homer was really all they needed ultimately because the Braves were hitless with runners in scoring position and couldn't find a way to get it done. You know, I have talked about Ozzie Albies coming back and maybe asking a lot out of him in the two spot. He shut me up in game one of that doubleheader against the Mets for sure. It's in there. He has the ability to do that. About the only move he could make is to bump Soler up to number two and maybe hit Ozzie in the five spot of the order. But short of that, you got who you got. And the guys that you don't have that aren't available aren't walking through that door. And you kind of have to make do with what they have been doing. And that's try to find it from maybe some unlikely sources at times. But you've got to have the Matt Olsons and the Marcelo Zunas do what they do in the middle of the order because Michael Harris has been setting the table at the top for a while here.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Grant, we're not going to have a Chris Sale coming out of the coffin like The Undertaker and just coming back from the dead and stepping into it.
I'd take a headless Ned Stark at this point.
You do obviously expect a lot from Max Fried tonight. And, we talk about it possibly being his last start for the Braves. Hopefully they can continue to go on and win a couple of games and move on from this series. But what do you make of the thought that this might be the last start you see Max Fried in a Braves uniform tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the story of this game, and it's been the story, obviously, this year to varying degrees and kind of building to a crescendo at this point for Max Fried, who I do have a ton of respect for both what he's done for the Braves over the course of his 8 years here and, of course, the way that he has handled the issue of impending free agent. We've all seen and discussed ad nauseum, the final curtain for Freddie Freeman and Dansby Swanson, and long-term deals aren't given out to every player as much as you'd like to keep them all. Alex Anthopoulos has said, you kind of have to make your decisions based on, your best guess and your best homework. And I don't think that there is a case that Max Fried leaving makes the Braves a better club. I think we all know that. I'd love to see it, work out where he can stick around. He enters free agency with a few other starting pitchers that should draw some interest. But I feel like, depending on what maybe a Blake Snell gets, depending on what some of these other arms could end up, where is that market going to be set? And Max Fried, where does he fit in with some other clubs that could be interested? And unlike a lot of people, I don't expect it to just be the Dodgers, by the way, because I don't know if you noticed, but they spent about $1 billion on two arms last year, one of whom who didn't throw a pitch this year but had a historic season and probably wins an MVP, who's in their plans next year. And they got Tyler Glasnow, and they got Yamamoto. So I don't know that Max Fried is necessarily going to L.A., and that's a fait accompli. But I'm interested to see how it all plays out. Would love to see him come back, but you'd love to see it even more. And Max Fried said this after his start against the Royals. Just go out there and continue the season so that he can make more starts for this club and they can do something special. And I think that has to be his primary focus because he really put the free agency stuff away and put it to bed early in spring training. He said, look, I'm just not going to focus on that because it's not going to do me any good.
Yeah, Grant, I'm not trying to push anybody out the door because I'm one of the biggest Brian Snitker supporters out there, but I do know that he won't be around for, maybe more than 3 or 4 years, and he'll retire and kind of live the rest of his life because he's been a baseball lifer. The moment Eddie Perez had with Marcelo Zuna that, ESPN caught and they talked about, I thought was amazing. I know Walt Weiss has been a guy. But is Eddie Perez the guy that maybe they might look to take over? He's been with the organization for a very long time.
He has, and he's taken some opportunities to manage in some of the foreign leagues over the winter to, get a little bit of that under his belt. And I think he's been a a candidate or at least a person worth talking to for some other clubs over the years, but maybe surprisingly hasn't gotten a lot of that. And some of that might be on his own, and some of it might just be the fact that a lot of clubs, they know exactly who they want. They zero in on them very quickly, and they make these hires. But, yeah, I think Eddie Perez brings a lot to the coaching staff. He is a net positive for this organization in a ton of different ways, and that was just a good example that got caught on TV. But I feel like the Braves coaching staff at times, you know, you're going to catch flack when the team's not performing because then it's the coach's fault. When they're all performing, well, the players are out there being stars and doing their thing, and I feel like that may or may not be fair, and that includes the manager. But criticism goes with the job. You know, that's the second guessing obviously comes with the job. And whatever Brian Snitker decides he wants to do, when he walks away from the game of baseball, he has literally and figuratively, from a coaching and managerial standpoint, done it all. And as I said, and will continue to say, he will leave the Braves a better place for having been here over the past five decades.
Grant, well said. Where can we find From the Diamond this week?
You'll find me on Saturday afternoon. Of course, we're waiting to see what the schedule for the postseason will look like for the Braves beyond that. But the plan is, I believe, about 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoon. And you can also find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts and on the Odyssey app.
Appreciate it, Grant.
Bam.
Y'all have a great day.
You too. That was our very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, joining us here on The Morning Shift. You can follow him on X at Grant McCauley. All right, coming up, we have a mic'd up edition. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got?
Tiff, it's your favorite day of the week. It's Which One Wednesday.
Great.
And let me just tease this one. Which event would Bo have a better chance of winning? A race versus Matthew Bergeron or an arm wrestling contest against Drake London? We'll touch on all the hard-hitting topics. That's coming up on the other side. Which One Wednesday? Sports Radio 92 The Game. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.